are not ready for prime time.
Prime time.
Prime time.
Prime time. That's the name.
Prime time.
Prime time.
What time is it? Showtime prime time.
It's XL Prime Time, featuring Joe C.
And then he couldn't fire his glutes later.
Matt Hayes.
I'm not running over the Barnett Tower and heaving myself off.
And Leon Searcy.
Now you come across that middle, you've had some meat on your bone.
It's that time. It's prime time. XL prime time. I'm Matt Hayes. He's Leon Searcy. Joe C has some PGA Tour duties. You wonder how big it is? We're so fired up. Dave Campbell already has joined us. He wants to come in right now.
Absolutely.
Right now. He's ready to go. Our coach. We are live at Duval Charter School here on Bay Meadows Way Road, just off I-95 and Bay Meadows Road. Come out and join us as they prepare to christen this beautiful, brand-new football field with head coach and former Jag star Aaron Beasley. Tomorrow's event is from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., and it's free entry for the family. Food trucks, bounce houses, raffles, and DJ Barracuda.
And of Barracuda.
Course, and, of course, special guests include former Jags stars Donovan Darius and Mike Hollis and former Jags assistant coach Gerald Ingram. We will talk to Bees later in the show about tomorrow's event and his upcoming camp here in June. Also, we're going to chop it up with our own coach, XL Prime Times, Dave Campo. And I know if you've listened to 1010XL all day long and dissected the draft, because why wouldn't you? But listen, I can promise you one thing. You're not going to hear feel-good plot at some prime time because, frankly, I got questions. And so does Big Sur.
I think
so does Dave Campo.
Yeah.
So this isn't going to be all.
We can't speak for Coach. Yeah,
this isn't going to be all flowers here, okay? you want to get involved on the text line brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures at 641-1010. We're going to crank up the pop-off line, too, because I know it's not just me and Big Sur and Dave that got some questions. We'll crank that up. That number's 207-7071. Maybe we'll play a couple of your messages to let you guys vent a little bit. You can also get involved on the MyBookie Digital Studio on the YouTube live stream. How about that? All right, let's get into it, Big Sur.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, Dan. We drafted Brian Thomas Jr., right? I'm glad he's here, all right? Now, initially during the draft, the way things were falling, because before the draft, we said, you know what? Some wide receivers, can go. Some linemen can go. Some quarterbacks go. There's going to be some amazing talent that they may leak, may shift this way down to where we could take the best available guy. And it played out perfectly. I'm sitting there and I'm watching and I'm saying to myself, Dallas Carter is still there.
And son of a gun, if six quarterbacks in the first 12 picks didn't happen.
Six quarterbacks. Listen, I told you Bo Nix was going to the Broncos. I told you. Bo Nix went to the Broncos, bro.
All right, so let's get into the crux of this argument, all right? And we'll get Dave involved in this because I want to hear what he thinks as well. Here's my thought on the whole Brian Thomas pick, okay? If you're willing to double down this offseason on the offensive line that clearly struggled last year, right, using injuries and a lack of chemistry as an excuse, which they did, why isn't that same excuse used for the wide receiver room? Because last year they had injuries to Christian Kirk and Zay Jones. Did they need an impact first-round pick? Why didn't the offensive line need an impact first-round pick then? Why wouldn't you double down on the receivers just like you did with the offensive line, okay? Someone has to add some reality to this nonsense right now. Seriously, all right? I can't walk around waving pom-poms like everyone else. I just can't. It's not in me, sirs. You pick a receiver at number 23 overall after trading down and passing on other areas of need, a receiver who had one season with a white-hot quarterback who just may end up being the best player in the draft, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You passed on the two best cornerbacks in the draft, a clear position of need, and passed on the best pass rusher in the draft, another clear position of need. What am I missing here, Dave?
Well, first of all, let me just say this. I'm happy he's here as well because I think that the board fell exactly the way they wanted it to fall from the standpoint that because all those quarterbacks went, you had an opportunity to push guys down to you, and there was, really a couple of offensive linemen there. There were a couple of cornerbacks there. So, and they targeted this Brian Thomas from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's obvious.
Clearly, right?
Yes. And so my feeling is that they must feel pretty good about the opportunity to get the need guys at corner and possibly at offensive line in that second round. And that's where I see it. I think this guy, you know, 15 touchdowns, led the nation in touchdowns. Mm-hmm. You have to say one thing about it. The guy's a good football player. So I was happy that guys were there to make a decision. That's all I can say. But I still think that they should have taken one of the offensive linemen because I think that's a position that that you really need to shore up for the quarterback. So I'm with you there. I'm not disappointed, though, because I said this before. If there were four or five guys there that if they took them, you'd say, okay, I'll be okay with that. And Brian Thomas is one of those guys. So I'm not going to go nuts
on
him.
No, I'm not disappointed either. I think potentially he could be good. All I'm saying is you had guys that many people had rated above him, okay, at positions of need. That's my whole thing. I mean, you had the 40 sacks last year, okay?
Yeah. Yep.
27.5 came from two guys.
Yep.
5.5 came from the rest of the defensive line on the entire flipping team.
Yep.
Think about that.
Yeah.
No,
your
starting corner is a guy who missed, what, 8 games? How many games did Darby miss last year? He's one of your starters now.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. They must like him.
All I'm saying is there's a lot of questions out there that didn't get answered, okay?
My problem with
and there's still 2 days to go in the draft. I get it. But
my problem with the Jaguars is that they came into the draft with blinders. I feel like they had set their mind, oh, we're going to take this guy and not look at the opportunity to get someone better. Now, listen, I'm glad the kid's here. I hope he has an amazing career here. But I'm saying what fell before us around 15 to 16, the linemen that were there, the DBs that were there, The
Troy Fontenot was there.
Was there.
Yeah.
And you can't tell me that the Jaguars had Brian Thomas rated over those guys right now. There's absolutely no way. I'm saying that if you just came in the draft with the notion that you were going to take the wide receiver, then why you know, put us through the windmill of all the decision that you should have made?
If you smoke screen,
absolutely. Smoke screen. I'm windmill. What the hell am I talking about? Smoke screen. You know, just don't put me in a position where, you know, I'm having to second guess the Jaguars. If that's what you wanted, just say that that's what you – because you go down to 23, but you're sitting at 17, you have an opportunity to take better guys. That's where my frustration lands.
I think they're going to come back a little bit in the draft tonight. I think they're going to come back up and
get somebody they want. Yeah, they'll use that third five they got in 2025.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean, you know, you got to figure that, you get that draft capital is going to help you in the future. But, listen,
you're gonna go
Coach Killer B over here, Coach Beasley. Coach Beasley's going to say the same thing. He's going to say take one of those corners because he said it last night on the podcast that we were on.
Yeah.
And I agree with that from the standpoint that, you know, that's an area of tremendous need in my opinion. So, you know, again, you win up front. You win with the offensive and the defensive line. And to me, that was a pick that I would have made. But, again, I'm not making it.
I just think it's like this staff has preached about defensive line and affecting the quarterback and pressures. They're big about pressures, okay?
Yeah.
The guy they passed had 91 pressures in the last 2 years at Alabama. Yeah. 91. Mm-hmm. And 23 sacks in his 3 years at Alabama.
And he went 17, right?
And he went – He went 17. The Vikings moved up and got him because then they lost Danelle Hunter.
Yeah.
The Vikings were like, all right, well, we need an edge guy. The best edge rusher in the draft has fallen. Yeah. Let's go get him.
Yeah.
So, look, all I'm saying is I hope that Brian Thomas Jr. works out. He's clearly a talent. He's also clearly a one-year guy. So there's no denying that. And I will agree his first year at LSU was the nightmare of Ed Orgeron's last year.
Yeah.
Show, we love Ed.
Right.
His second year was the first year with Brian Kelly and Jaden Daniels, so there's a little chemistry situation there. Then year three, everything clicks.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Coach said a couple of weeks ago, he said if all things are equal, which they're not, all right, Dallas Turner is clearly ranked higher than Brian Thomas, but all things equal, you take the guy that can score points.
Yeah, that's what I was say.
You take the guy who can score points. You take the guy that absolutely score points. So Brian Thomas, who had, what, 15, 17 touchdowns? 17 touchdowns last year. He's another arsenal, another weapon for Trevor Lawrence. And you heard Doug Peterson talking about it earlier today. He said that, as far as his speed and his ability to take the cap off the defense, kind of like what Calvin did. You're getting a Calvin Ridley at a cheaper price at a rookie contract.
Yeah. So, and I feel that way. Like, if you're close – you go with the guy. The example to me was Jalen Ramsey and Zeke Elliott.
Right.
You know, I was in the draft. I wasn't in the draft room, but I was on a draft show, and they asked me when those picks came up, and I said, listen, I love Jalen Ramsey, but I'm going to take the guy that gives us the Cowboys a chance to score points, and that was Zeke Elliott, and that's what they did.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, there's a lot of ways you can look at it. My personal opinion is like yours. You know, I've been saying take the offensive lineman because he helps you score points as well.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But you got to. You say it all the time, Matt. You rush the pass. You put. You protect the quarterback and affect the quarterback.
Yeah.
That's
mm-hmm.
how you win games most of the time in this league.
And honestly, I mean, Brian Thomas isn't catching 17 touchdowns. They can't protect Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
It's as simple as that.
Correct.
All right. We're going to get deep into the draft. We want to bring Bees on real quick. Ben Beasley, former Jag star. We want to talk about this magnificent facility. Bees, this thing is...
It is nice. I saw
it. It's phenomenal. You guys, I mean, you told us about it a week ago, but this is... Wow.
When you see it, it's like, whoa. It's like Field of Dreams.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly. So you smell football in the air.
So, you're christening the facility tomorrow with a big event, right?
Yep.
Explain to everybody what's going on and talk about your camp in June.
Well, the camp in June is NFL alumni partnership. I'm going to take my gum out. I learned this in media training. Never gum. What am I doing? But, you know, we're doing a June 8th football camp, cheerleading camp as well. I've been a part of NFL alumni since, you know, retirement, and they do a lot of great things. I've been up north doing it, though. I mean, it's a little bit bigger, you know, when you do it up north. I mean, Philadelphia, New York, New Jersey, bringing the same energy down here. And then, like, for the football field, you know, I'm excited just because, like, it's kind of like I took the job for a selfish reason. Mm-hmm. I took the job because I wanted a home to train kids.
Right.
You know what I mean? So the balance is, okay, I'll do the head coach job, but I'm going to have a great staff. And, like, you know, what I see is, like, turning this into an opportunity where we really get some kids – and nurture them, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, not just football-wise, off the field, you know, leadership, mentorship, because that's what football is. I tell all these guys now, I'm like, you know, you see how big football is right now. I mean, the NFL draft is probably the biggest event on TV this year, you know?
Right.
You know, the viewership. And I was telling my kids, I'm like, man, you guys are born leaders. You know, to be any – football player, you have to be a leader. I don't care if you're on the bench, you have to be a leader.
Now I'm concerned about that word nurture, because when I get here Tuesday, ain't gonna be no nurturing going on.
Hey, you do what you do,
I'm
bro.
I'm gonna come to work. Yo, I ain't gonna be pollering no butts and burping no babies,
bro. We got some.
I just
want
to let you know, got some drills, coach. I'm old school, baby.
Yo. We talked about him last night. He's one of the guys we were asking the number of guys on Tom McManus's podcast.
Right.
We were asking. In fact, who was it? Kabaris.
Yep, Sam.
Asked the question, who on back in the day was somebody you didn't want to get into a fist fight with? And Leon's name came up right away. So.
Because we were talking about having a dog. You got to have a dog on that old line.
Absolutely.
You were our big dog.
That's right,
you know?
Baby. Absolutely.
And that's why we were saying old line because – I mean, protecting Trevor is everything.
Yeah, it is. It is.
But at the same time, you can understand the pick, though.
You can. You know? I was just going to say. So
it's like,
speaking of which, what are your thoughts on it?
He fell to us. I'm like, I understand the pick. He's already at 23. I mean, that guy's – he's top 10 talent in any other draft, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you think about our receiving core, he's the guy that can take the top off now. You know, we didn't have that. I mean, you got the three guys. They're more big body. Then Kirk's a slot guy.
Yeah. Gabe can run.
Yeah.
Gabe Davis can run.
But now, because Zay is a little bit older. He's been injured as well.
But, Matt, I mean, let me ask you all this question. Now, that's a big responsibility for a rookie to come in to have to be the guy to set the tone for the offense as far as getting all the other guys. Now, Kyler, really, he has some experience while he in the NFL. So he had, but you're telling a rookie to come in here and take the top off the defense through his speed and the routes that he runs. I mean, that's a formidable task to ask a rookie to do that kind of stuff. I mean, I don't care what you did in college. You come to this league, and you know Beasley.
You're
coming to this league
up
as a rookie. I mean, and defense knowing that's your speed guy, that's the guy that's going to, you know, force your formations, I mean, force your coverage and all that kind of stuff. I mean, Coach, you tell me. I mean, that's going to be a hard task for a rookie to have to go.
Listen, any rookie coming in is going to it's going to be a transition for him, Leon. You know that, Bees. But at the same time, the speed alone says something to the defensive backs. I mean, you know, you're just not going to. Now, the one thing I am a little concerned about is some people have talked about the fact that Thomas doesn't have the real clean release.
The route tree.
The real – no, they say he can run routes, but it's the release.
He doesn't have the Malik Nabers release.
Yeah, the release.
He doesn't have that.
We need to call Jimmy Smith.
Yeah.
The king of the release.
Yeah. So, to me, that is a little bit of a concern, but at the same time, you know –
That's something that can be worked on.
Puts a little fear into the DB bit when you got a guy that can run.
Three,
when you don't, you can sit on routes. And Bees was one of the greatest of all time of sitting on routes and jamming guys and doing all kinds of stuff. He was all over them. That's the difference.
To be intellectually honest here, Ja'Marr Chase did it in year one. Justin Jefferson did it in year one.
Right.
CeeDee Lamb did it in year one. Yeah. So it's happened. There's
no doubt
it's happened.
Breed.
Yeah.
These guys are different breed of receivers
but
now.
Is Brian Thomas that different breed of receiver? That's the question.
Well, all those guys that you just named, they made a name for themselves. Coming out of college, Ja'Marr Chase, top five pick. CeeDee Lamb, top 20 pick. Your boy Justin Jefferson dropped top 22 pick, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. At that particular time, they were just names. But then they went in the league and established themselves. Yeah. Now, you know, they're household names. So I'm hoping that Brian Thomas, in that same respect,
correct,
you know, can come in here and be effective as they were effective, because it has happened. We've seen it happen.
I think they have a great room. They have a great receiver room, which will help him.
Mentoring.
He's young, but we just got the guy from the Bills. We still have Kirk. We still have Zay. Mm-hmm. So, he's not going to have to just go in right away. Mm-hmm. I feel like he can work his way up to the top, where he doesn't have to be that guy, I don't think, right now.
Mm-hmm. So, Beast, last night when the pick arrives at 17, you see both corners still, top corners still on the board. Mm. You see Dallas Turner still on the board.
Mm.
Was part of you disappointed that they didn't go there?
I wanted a corner. Just because I feel like you got to have three. You saw what the other teams did in the division, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Titans have three good receivers. Texans have three quality receivers. Colts. You got to stop guys, and I feel like it would have helped our front. You know, with our front, they're going to get to the quarterback. Now, you get a guy like a Mitchell who can play some press all day, 4-3-0.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that was a miss right there to me. But I understand.
I get it, too. Well, I get putting pieces around Trevor to help him reach his ceiling. We've been saying that all along. I just see different pieces. I see offensive line first before I see receiver. Also, you know, you got to have three corners, you say. One of their corners is Darby, who's been injured, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Their slot corner is safety, Savage. That's who they're going to start at slot. And then your other corner is Tyson Campbell, who missed, eight games last year with a hammy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Six games?
And then who's behind that?
You've got some serious issues at corner right now. That's kind of my that was my biggest problem for them, not taking Terry Arnold or Mitchell.
Well, you know how you help – go ahead, Coach.
No, go ahead.
Now, you know how you help corners? You get pass rush.
Yeah.
Yeah, throw Dallas Turner.
Exactly.
There you go, man.
Listen, the whole time I was sitting at the stadium, because I had to go to the stadium for the draft, the whole time I'm sitting at the stadium, I'm telling people, listen, here's our front four against third down and long, all right? Mm. You got Turner. You got Trayvon. You got Armstead, and you got Josh Allen. You're talking about four first-round picks.
That'd be sick.
You're talking about four first-round picks going after the passer on third and medium and long situations.
And another Devin Lloyd coming up.
And Devin Lloyd coming up. Absolutely.
Because the Giants did win two Super Bowls with an unknown secondary.
They did.
You know, because of the front.
Listen, with the attack. Go ahead, Coach.
All I would say is
the former DB's coach, by the way.
Yeah. With what was there. There was a little bit of concern, I think, within the building. And, again, I wasn't there, so I can't say 100%, but I think there was a little concern. Why is there not one of those two DBs? And, again, I looked at them, but I didn't study them like they have.
Mm-hmm.
Why weren't one of those guys up higher in the draft?
Yeah, that's true.
So you look at it and you kind of say, okay, well, they may be the best two in that draft,
mm-hmm.
but they might not be the best two that have ever played to put them in a top 10 or a top 12.
Or you had an idiot GM pick Michael Penix, a quarterback, to change the dynamic of everything.
Now, that's true. Could be because of the way the draft fell. That changed no question.
That changed the board entirely.
Right.
It made everybody start to panic. The other teams start to panic for the other two quarterbacks.
Absolutely.
Right? So that made moves happen. There's all stuff going on, I think, that changed the dynamic of what
that's
could
every
be.
Draft is that way. Yeah.
Because I was waiting for that whoa moment, because the first top five, six guys in the draft,
you knew,
bam, 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 bam. And then my whoa moment was when J.C. Latham went to the Tennessee Titans. I go, whoa.
Another strange
pick. I was like,
pick.
That was a strange pick. I mean, because, listen, he is a first-round talent, in my opinion, but back half of the first-round talent, I think they might overdrafted this kid.
Well,
I don't know, whatever reason.
They panicked once. And then I heard
the announcer say the potential of moving him to left tackle. He is not no left tackle.
No.
He's no left. He didn't play left tackle at Alabama.
Played some guard or right tackle.
He played a few games.
They
there,
had
but
two,
he's not.
What did they have, Matt? They had two.
They had
true
to get Tyler Steen
from
Vanderbilt.
True freshmen to play
then,
at left tackle. Because you know, in the offensive
the
line, coach, your best athlete, no matter where he is, if he's on, he goes to left tackle.
Left tackle.
It's like what happened to me with Miami. We played in the Cotton Bowl. As soon as we beat Texas in the Cotton Bowl, I get off the plane. Coach Keel comes up to me. You're playing left tackle next year. Get ready. I said, what? How you say you're going to play left tackle? So I know the better athletes on the offensive line play left tackle. And this guy, he was a stickler. And was nothing wrong with it. He was a stickler at right tackle. Yeah. But the conversation about moving him to left, I would just keep him at right. Now, that's an overdraft for a right tackle, to be quite honest with you. Because for Shonda was sitting right there. He didn't go to 11.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's a true left tackle. Absolutely. I'm surprised that the Titans passed on him and went to J.C. Latham.
I've got six rounds to go, by the way. There's still six rounds.
Yeah, it is.
I'm looking forward to tonight.
I am very much.
Bees, what are you looking forward to tonight and throughout the weekend before we get you back to what you got to do?
Tidy up that line. You know, we still need depth there. There's still some quality out there. Maybe another corner. But that's, like you said, Coach, there weren't too many to pick from this year. Like, you didn't hear too many safeties.
No.
Like, even names being thought about.
Yeah,
like I do my sneaky pick. I'm gonna tell you, I talked about him last night. That linebacker from North Carolina State is going to be a steal
Wilson,
for somebody.
Yep.
6'4", 235, run a 4.4.
Mm-hmm.
Man, come on! I would like to see him here. Like I feel like he could fit in our.
Listen, I'd like to have the whole group. Let's go ahead and bring in about Toy. That's why I kind of like when a team backs up. If there's guys that are out there, you know, when you make a pick to go forward and pick a guy,
he better.
You better hit him or else you're in serious trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And you never know what's going to happen.
True.
But when you back up, the more picks you have, the better chance you have of hitting on guys, because you're not going to hit 100%. It's too. You know, hopefully we will, but it's
right,
hard to.
I got a thought on that. We're going to hit that in the next segment, all right?
Yeah.
Please, before we go, invite everybody out tomorrow. Explain again what's going on.
Oh, well, tomorrow we'll be out here from 11 to 2 at opening our track and field and football field. We'll have a free event for the whole family Saturday. Food trucks, vendors, bounce houses, raffles. I'll be out here. Coach Ingram will be out here. Mike Hollis. Donovan Darius.
DJ Barracuda.
DJ Barracuda, yeah. I mean, when the facilities be open, just come take a tour, you know. I'm just trying to, you know, we're trying to set a new thing here because coming from Philly, it's not a big football city, but it is becoming, you know. I mean, like,
right.
I go up there on Sundays. There's this, my boys did this football skills academy, 300 kids out there. Like, that's the kind of stuff I want to see, you know.
Right.
Getting kids off the street, get them out here. Because football, to me, or sports in general, is a way of life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just so many lessons learned, and it leads to what you want to do in life as far as business as well. Mm-hmm. You know, the leadership qualities. A lot of businesses are looking for that.
Mm-hmm. All right, man. Thanks so much. We appreciate it. Good luck
right.
this weekend.
Bees.
Boom.
Right. Bees.
I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with your program.
Oh,
it's exciting, really.
I got some DBs.
I see IMG in the making here.
Oh.
Duval Charter.
Yeah, exactly. Well done, Coach. Well done.
That's
all right, we need to go to break. We'll come back. We're going to get deep into this draft. Six more rounds to go. Everybody breathe. It's XL Primetime.
XL Primetime's Coach Dave Campo is brought to you by Bold City Heating and Air. Online at boldcityac.com. Cruising with XL Primetime in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios on 1010XL. It's a big hair, heavy metal Friday on XL Primetime.
All right, we're back on primetime. We are live. Duval Charter School on Bay Meadows Wave Road. Easiest way I could explain this is you get off 95. If you're going south on 95, you hang a right on Bay Meadows Wave Road. And about a mile on the left, you're going to see this immaculate new facility that they're going to christen tomorrow with former Jag star Aaron Beasley, the head coach here at Duval Charter. What are they? They're the Panthers, I believe. guys, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are.
The Panthers. Yeah, it's a magnificent place. Come on, check it out. They got a free event tomorrow. Lots of food trucks, bounce houses, DJs, former Jags players. Good event. Good deal. All right, Dave and Leon. By the way, this is a pom-pom free zone, everyone. Okay, pom-pom free zone.
I thought they put these up for us for the Jaguars. Is that not?
I don't know what, but this is not. I don't know what. This is not. We're not shaking pom poms.
I was a little concerned. I'm not shaking pom poms neither.
So, look, I will say this. You can get on board on the text line. It's going crazy right in the text line. I get it. You guys are all mad at us because we're not waving our pom poms about the Jaguars. You can also get on the pop off line because I think if you guys are really interested in this and you really want to have your voice heard. Come on, man. We're willing, if it's as long as it's not a little bit too nutty, we're willing to play it. 207-7071 is the pop-off line. Now, Dave, you said something before the break that I thought was pretty interesting. You said if you trade down and pick, there's a lot less criticism than trading up and getting a player. And I understand the concept of what you're saying, but if Dallas Turner hits – if Terrion Arnold hits, by the way, the Lions own the draft the last 4 years. If Quinyon Mitchell hits, those are three guys you passed of need. Three guys of need for your roster that you passed. And let's say your guy doesn't hit. You don't think there's going to be a little angst there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's no question that any time you're in the draft, there's a question on somebody that you passed by. You know, you see it all the time. They took this guy, and then 3 years later, there's four guys that are in the Pro Bowl. But at the same time, when you make a move up, and what you're trying to do is you're trying to get an elite athlete. For example, I'm talking about if you're in the first round and you give up some heavy hitters or heavy picks to get one guy, okay? And a perfect example for me is when we were with the Cowboys, and I was a head coach, and Jerry gave away two number ones, one this year, one this particular year, and one the next, to get Joey Galloway, the receiver. And he felt that, we felt, really, that we had an opportunity with one guy to make a big jump
right
for Aikman. And as it turns out, Joey Galloway blows his knee out in the first game. And then Troy Aikman is out after two games. So all of a sudden, you're right where you were before. So there's no guarantees when you do that. You got to be pretty darn sure that everything's going to work out and to make that move. When you back up, you're getting yourself a few more picks to make a quality decision because you're not going to be 100% in the draft ever.
All right, so let's start moving forward now. Round two. We'll still talk about Brian Thomas a little later, but let's move forward right now. Round two. Do you use those picks that you essentially fleeced the Vikings with the picks you got in that deal? Do you use those picks to trade up and get Cooper DeJean or to get Kool-Aid McKinstry? Or do you hope that like Enos Rakestraw falls to you? And I hate the word hope because hope, I'm going to say this over and over, hope is not a plan. Or do you hope someone falls to you? What do you do right now? Looking at, you would expect corner is the pick, right?
I would expect so. But, again, it depends on how many guys you have graded in that area, that you can feel pretty confident. For example, you got Rakestraw, you got Tampa, you got, McKinstry, you got a number of guys that are going to possibly be there at 48. So I think you have to be, there's probably not more than three or four, though. So there's a chance that they might move up to try to – move up a little bit to get a guy.
And yeah, there's a drop after that group.
Yeah, and when you move up with the second round or the third round, it's a little you can do that, not have quite the fallout if it doesn't work out.
Well, listen, Cooper Beebe is still around, isn't he?
Yeah.
Now we said this before the draft. Listen,
bro, I was going to ask you.
Listen, we
I was
said
coming
that,
to you next. No,
you
me.
Said we said this before the draft. I said, listen, the Jaguars in the first three rounds, right? If you give me a wide receiver, corner, and an offensive lineman. And I said it. I don't care what position that we get it. If you can give me those three guys in some capacity between, 17, 48, and 96, I'll be good. Now, I wasn't expecting wide receiver first. I was looking more at my wide receiver to be second.
Right.
And then maybe the lineman first, then wide receiver, and then we go corner. So, I mean, right now it's a mixed bag, all right? I wanted us to get us a lineman. You know, we didn't get it. We got the wide receiver. So now moving forward, these next two picks, if you give me a lineman at 48 and you give me a DB at 96, I'm still good. I can still live with that.
I will tell you this. If Cooper Beebe is the pick in the second round, I will wave a pom-pom.
Yeah.
I 100% will wave a pom-pom.
Hey, I need like that too. I want that picture.
Because,
I like him too.
Because, though. Yeah, I mean, because that's honestly – I mean, we've talked about it ad nauseum for 4 months in the offseason. I mean, you need a dog on that offensive line. And that's – you know, they can double down and say they like where they are. We watch those guys play.
They can't double down and say that.
We watch those guys play, man. There's no way that you can tell me a guy who was once an all-pro guard, who's clearly on the downside of his career, right? A guy who was traded by the Vikings. You picked up for a sixth-round pick. This is not a guy that is Ezra Cleveland. This is not a guy where you're like, all right, yeah, this is a solid guy for us. We're excited about him. You did sign him in the offseason. Yeah, there's no doubt about that, okay? Well, you got to have somebody to play left guard, well, right?
Yeah, traditionally in the NFL, coach, when you got good starters, you usually sign them, right?
Right.
Yeah,
well, you don't let them go for six-round picks.
No,
right.
And then re-sign them by later.
Right. That's all I'm saying.
That's kind of my point is, and you know, when Cam Robinson, although I think Anton Harrison's got a chance to be a little nasty too. I think both the tackles.
He has a potential.
Yeah.
He's still a puppy. He's not
that,
he's a puppy, not a pig.
He is. He's just that middle three where I have a huge concern. And if your idea is, I hate this, to hope that one of those corners falls to you. Because once you get past the next three corners, there's a drop-off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt there is, all right? So if your idea is to hope that happens and it doesn't happen and you're two picks away and Cooper Beebe hasn't hit yet, I might even think about moving up just to get him. If you're moving up two picks just to go get him, just to get that attitude on the field. And and again, we've talked about Cooper Beebe forever. If you guys listen, if you just take out your phone, go on YouTube, and search for Cooper Beebe highlights, and you'll see what we're talking about. The way he finishes plays, his physical nature.
He's a wide-bodied brute.
Yeah, he's a guard.
All right. He's a throwback.
Oh, yeah.
He's an absolute throwback.
Absolutely.
The way he finishes, the way he gets to the second level, the way he wants to punish, he just doesn't want to block guys.
Yeah.
He wants to punish guys.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing that's most impressive, that his temperament, that temperament that he has in college, I don't know if you can teach that. I'm not sure how he came in to Kansas State, but I know how he's leaving.
A lot of those K-State guys are like that.
Okay,
that's the Chris Kleiman mentality.
Okay,
we won national championship at North Dakota State.
Absolutely love it.
We are tougher than you,
and
we're going to show you we're tougher than you, and we're going to impose our will on you.
You know, after I watched the highlights of the offensive linemen in the first round, I saw about four guys that were finishers.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah. And that made it even more that I would have taken an offensive line with the first one.
Yeah.
You know, there were some guys there that were.
Pawanga, Fatanu.
Yeah.
I mean, Fashanu.
Yeah.
I mean, goodness gracious.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think Fashanu is probably the one that was probably a guard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but still, I mean, the guy was they're all, every one of those guys. But I'll just say I'm with Leon from the standpoint that, you know, I would take those three positions in the first three. I would have gone offensive line like him. And then when taking the receiver, that kind of skews it. They obviously felt that Thomas was somebody they had to have from the very beginning for them to do that, because there were too many people there that they could have gone with at the positions we're talking about.
Yeah. And I think they just came in the draft, coach, with blinders on. We're like, okay, we know what we're going to get, and because at 17, the way it was going for us, I'm saying to myself, we're going to get somebody that we're not supposed to get, and please take them. And then when they traded with the Viking, I was like, I had no table I could flip over. All right, I was looking. I told Matt Hayes that if we didn't take Dallas Turner at 17 with the opportunity, that I was going to be flipping over some tables, and I couldn't find it. I couldn't find one, coach. I was looking for it. I promise you, I was in the cigar lounge looking for a table to flip. I couldn't flip one.
But your thought process is they're going into corner. It's going to be corner unless something again funky happens with the board. that they're going corner. Because, I mean,
you've already brought up what the situation
is. It's hard to ignore that, is it not?
You've got a lot of guys that have been hurt and older tooth.
And you got a safety playing nickel corner.
Yeah, yeah. Now, he runs now.
He does run.
You know, he's 4'3 something. So it reminds me of Woodson. You know, there's guys that.
A lot of guys can run in the league that can't cover you.
Yeah, well, that's true. hopefully.
I'm not saying he can't. All I'm saying is, it's, you know, you've got some. You seriously have questions.
And you have to consider that, you know, they made a push with young DBs now, you know, with Gregory and, you know, young guys, the corner that's played a lot.
Monteric
Brown, you know. So I'll tell you what, it's hard because the thing we don't know also, Leon, is they might have tried to move up. To get one of those linemen, and nobody would move up with them.
That's true.
And they had probably made the decision, if we're still sitting there at 17, here's what we're going to do. This guy and that guy are here, and we're going here, or we're going to move.
You know where they could have had a lineman? 17.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, they could have. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, listen, they're good. They're willing to run it back. That's gonna be my coin phrase from now on with the Jaguars. All right, so when that lineup come game one is you know, the same guys that we saw in game 17, I'm gonna call them the run back. That's gonna be they're gonna run it back. I love it.
Run it back. All right, the text line's going crazy, man. Yeah. 252 said this draft is a result of a GM being on the hot seat who has no plan. He delivered to the masses a shiny, fast toy on offense.
Yeah.
That's fair.
That's fair.
I think if you're looking at that, he clearly has to make an impact right now.
Right.
He being Trent Baalke. They have to have a situation where, look, you can't go 9-8, 9-8, and have the diametric differences between those two 9-8s, and then follow that with a, I don't know, 7-10, or not in the playoffs at 8-9. They have to make the playoffs.
That's why, as you look at it, you have to say, you know, if we're true Jaguar fans, Matt Hayes, you have to say that they made the decision that this guy is going to be a difference maker, because they're under the gun a little bit right now, and to take that pick, they've got to feel like this guy's going to make an impact this year. It's not one of those, we're going to wait till next year. I think it's this year.
And, Matt, you got to look at it like this, too. I mean, if Trent does think that he's in shallow waters, I mean, his life preserver is Trevor. Yeah. I mean, Trevor's got to look well.
Yep.
I mean, Trevor is his life preserver. Yep. So, I mean,
you're saying they're tied at the hip.
So, you give him another toy to play with, you know, because if Trevor doesn't look good again, you know, walking papers can be in order.
So then that's why he gave him the toys of Brenton Strange and Tank Bigsby last year.
Well, you know, last year I told you the arrogance got the best of him last year.
All right.
Now, see, that
by the way, in the text line, they're saying Leon for GM, just FYI.
Yeah, last year is what they did. They basically went with need all the way. They needed a running back. They needed a backup tight end. Mm-hmm. That's who they took. I'm not sure that they made the right decisions. That's the problem.
I think they got comfortable with their run. I think that them making the playoffs, beating the Chargers the way they beat them, going toe-to-toe with the Chiefs, I think they got lax and say, okay, we're good. Because they even said it.
Yes.
You remember they said in offseason last year, we like where we are. We like our locker room. You got to keep your foot on the gas.
Oh, absolutely.
Because Kansas City is not – I tell you what, Kansas City is steadily on the move. You saw what they did? They went and got them 4-2-1.
Yeah.
They're steadily on the move. You got to keep your foot on the gas with them. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right, we need to get into that and a lot of other picks there in the first round. We want to go over the first round because there's a lot of interesting tidbits in the first round, including within the AFC South. We're going to come back here. We are live at Duval Charter School, this brand-new facility they're going to christen tomorrow in a – fun event from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Come on out. A lot of free stuff going on here. It's XL Primetime.
You're riding in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios. XL Primetime on 1010XL. It's a big hair, heavy metal Friday on XL Primetime.
He was going to be the pick at 17, you know, so that, like we said, now there were other players involved, and we just felt, you know, that the way the board looked and where the needs were, the teams in between us, we felt we had a chance. And, you know, there's risk, there's reward. You know, you make the move back. But we felt we were going to get a really good football player that we had high on our board with the move back. But fortunate that, you know, Brian was still there.
You know what that is? That's like when you hire a coach and he's your guy and you go to the press conference and you say, he's our coach. We didn't interview anybody else. He's our guy. He was going to be our guy. That's what that is. Well, that's what that is. We're back here live from Duval Charter at Bay Meadows, off Bay Meadows Way.
Why is it? Listen, if he was your guy all the time, why not? Why the charades? Why didn't you take him at 17? Why did you take move back?
They got a chance to get more picks, I guess, is what they're going to
tell you. What's the more pick? You got what? What do we get extra this year? What do we get extra this year?
You got one this year and two next year.
What we got this year? Fifth?
I think you got a
five, I think.
We got
five,
a fifth.
Three, fifth four, and a three and a, or fourth and a three and a fifth the following year.
Oh, okay. All right.
You don't like that?
That's fine.
So look, I will say this. They're going to say that. He's going to say that. That was going to be picked no matter what. Because you don't want to make Brian Thomas look bad.
Correct.
And you don't want, he doesn't want to make himself look bad. Yep. And at the end of the day, if we really want to tie this thing up with a nice bow, their failure to sign Calvin Ridley led to this pick. Okay? Their misses in the second and third round last year led to this pick. So, at the end of the day, it's on him no matter what. It's on the guy making the choices no matter what. Is it not, Dave?
Yeah, no. And really, that was the case with Harrison last year. Mm-hmm. You know, having Cam going in the suspension.
That
made
him
make that pick.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, that's going to happen some. I mean, I think, you know, in a situation like the one in that one, I'm not really surprised that they looked at this guy. Like Leon said earlier, I mean, you know, we're tied to the hip with Trevor. I'm going to give him somebody, and we lost Ridley, and so we lost the speed. And so they needed the speed, and they went and got it. And I just – it's disappointing that has to happen that way, but it does happen. That's for sure.
All right, so let's move real quick to some other areas of the draft. I want to talk about the quarterbacks first, Dave, because more and more now we're starting to see analysts. Dan Orlovsky has definitely been one carrying the flag for a while now. There are others out there now that are saying they believe that Jaden Daniels is going to be the best quarterback in this draft, not Caleb Williams. You've seen them both. You've watched them both. What are your thoughts on that? Does Jaden Daniels, by the way, 210 pounds now, looks a little bigger, still got that small shoulders, though.
Yeah.
But what are your thoughts on that?
You know, I think I would stick with Caleb, and the reason for it is that the guy is one of those consistent players. You know, he has, you know, he's got some athletic ability. I think Daniels has more athletic ability, which I think that's what people are looking at. They're saying in this day and age, there's so much pressure. The defensive players run so well now, the front, that you have to be able to move. Well, I can tell you right now, I think Caleb has the ability to move. He's more like Mahomes. Now, he's not Mahomes. Don't get me wrong, but Mahomes not the fastest guy in the world either.
No, he just
knows
when to
go. You know, but he knows how to move.
Yeah.
Well, I think Caleb has that. I think the thing that got them more than anything else was Latu. With when UCLA played SC, Latu killed the right tackle, mm-hmm. killed him, and Caleb couldn't operate. So they're looking at it and saying, well, you know, we didn't move there, but he had no chance. If you watch that film, Latu was on him like that all the time,
mm-hmm.
whereas Daniels might have been able to get away, but I don't think you see that quick on a quarterback in the NFL
right.
to where a guy can't process and then make a move when he has
I think the idea is the shiftiness of Daniels. And
yeah.
and I think what a lot of – and I heard an NFL scout talking about this – is with in that game, that specific game, Latu coming off the edge, it's his length. And the problem was is Caleb couldn't turn, couldn't move.
That's right.
And then the issue is then everybody's long in the NFL off the edge.
Yeah.
It's the league of long guys off the edge.
Yeah, but in the NFL, your linemen will be a little bit more equipped than they are at the college level. Because yeah. I'll watch that same film, Coach. The right tackle couldn't move
got
his
killed.
Outside
no.
foot to save
no.
his life.
Yeah, killed.
I don't know what it was, bro. He gave him the short corner all the time because the right tackle was stepping inside his foot instead of kicking it out. And I just wanted to run on the field my damn self and fix it. I mean, yes, he's a dominant player, but I think the quarterback play can be elevated a little bit more at the next level if you got, you know, guys booking guys. My concern with Caleb is that a lot of his stuff was off script when I saw, you know, out of the pocket, making his own magic.
Which he's really good at.
Which is very good at. And I just want to coach in the NFL with the speed, with the talent, with the DBs, and with the pass rush. I mean, like, the windows, they say the passing windows close.
Yes.
I mean, those rush – his escapability closes as well when he gets to the NFL level.
Yeah, there's no question about that. I just think that the guy proved over the course of his career that he was worth being a special – he's a special guy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's been special guys come in before that did, you know, took him a while to get going. I still think that the kid at Carolina Panthers is going to be a good quarterback
Bryce.
In the league.
Bryce Young.
You know, but you don't just automatically go in there. I think you look at it and say, if a guy can move like what's his name with the Baltimore Ravens?
Lamar.
You have an advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an advantage and I agree with that.
Right.
Because of the pressure of the guys that are off the edges and inside passes.
I think Caleb will be good. I don't know that he's going to be rare like everybody keeps talking about. I don't know if he's going to be there. I will say this about Jaden Daniels. It's one or the other.
Yeah.
He's either going to be really, really good or he's going to bust.
I would agree with that. And I'll tell you what, I think all the quarterbacks now are being overdrafted.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just the nature of the way the game is now. You know, if you don't have that guy, you don't have a chance, you know, really, in the league.
Let's get into that. Let's get into that next segment. Okay, that's a perfect segue right there to what I was going to talk about. We got 1 hour down, 1 hour to go. I want to get into the quarterbacks. I want to get into this crazy first round because it was a little nutty. And of course, what will the Jags do today and Saturday? It's XL Primetime.
The First Coast Honda Dealer Studios on 1010 XL. It's a big hair, heavy metal Friday on XL Primetime.
Dave, did you get your votes in for the heavy metal song of the day that you want?
I don't have one. I'm not a heavy metal type of guy.
All right, we're back up front time.
I like the soft music.
We are live from Duval Charter Bay Meadows here. Opening up, and they're going to christen this brand new field tomorrow. Aaron Bees, the head football coach here. We spoke with Bees earlier in the show. Maybe try to get him on real quick for one quick break, one quick snapshot, I should say, later in the show. Before we get into more NFL draft, I want to give you kind of like a college football / NFL note here, okay? So if we're using the 2024 framework of college football divisional play, so in other words, the new Big Ten, the new SEC, the new Big 12, okay? 24 of the 32 first-round picks last night's draft were from either the SEC or the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
14 from the SEC, 10 from the Big Ten, 4 from the ACC, 1 from the Big 12, 1 from the Mountain West, 1 from the MAC, and 1 from Notre Dame.
Wow.
As the fellas here, Sirs.
Yeah, those are the big boys right there.
The offensive linemen here.
That's right.
The Duval Charter lining up. Looking
that's
at
right.
Sirs. They give you the one eye. All of them. Look at staring you down,
man. There's some big boys over there.
Yeah,
I like
know.
It.
I like it, bro. I got something to work with.
Bees, y'all going to win some games. Yeah, you know why you win some games? You got an offensive line.
That's right.
You got some big dudes. Did you hear that? Bees just said the most important part
that's
of every
right.
team.
Absolutely.
That's
no
it.
Question.
That's it,
all
baby.
Right.
All right, good luck, fellas.
Good luck, guys.
All right, y'all smiling now.
Have a great year.
Smile now.
Smile now because Tuesday's coming. All right, so the draft. Let's get back to the draft. First 14 picks, offensive players. 6 of the first 12 picks, quarterbacks. If there were any doubt, Leon, any doubt that this is now an offense league, all you got to do is look at the draft last night.
That's it. I mean, it was – I'm not going to say it's ridiculous, but it was mind-blowing to me that all these guys, the wide receivers, the quarterbacks, the offensive line, the tight end. I mean, you're talking about 14 straight offensive players that were taken in the first round. First time in NFL history. I mean, that, if that doesn't tell you something about what the league is going to right now.
In any part of the draft.
Any part of the draft.
Not just the first round.
No,
14. They've never had 14 straight offensive players.
They've never had 14 straight offensive players go in a row in the draft, in the history of the draft. I mean, that was crazy to me. But, listen, it's all about the offense anyway. I mean, everything is a stickler in design to score points. I mean, football is football to entertainment.
Right. So, Dave, as a DC, former head coach, Dallas Cowboys, the one guy in this – well, Leon can speak to it, too. I can't. Yeah. I didn't play in the NFL. But you guys are NFL vets, okay?
Yeah.
You see that last night. You see that run of offensive players. Are you a little melancholy about the whole situation, or you're kind of like, you know what, that's ball. That's where we are right now.
Yeah, I think that's where we are, and I like it. I think people want to see it. They want to see scores. You know, they don't want, you know, one of the things that even myself as a defensive guy, I love a great defensive ball game, but, you know, I don't get real excited about watching a soccer game or a ice hockey game. Because there's no points scored, you know. I mean, it's an offensive, you know, that's the excitement is when the hockey guy scores a goal. It's exciting when a guy breaks a 40-yard run for a touchdown. Those are the things that I think that stick out, and I think that's part of the entertainment, as Leon said, of the league right now.
So let me say this, and I was thinking about this last night. Has Pat Mahomes, has he completely changed the way general managers – personnel guys, scouts, view players, view building a team, whether it's through the draft, whether it's through free agency, whether it's a combination. However, has he skewed the way we're all looking at this now? Because now it's not just, look, you've got to beat the best quarterback. You it doesn't matter if you have a good defense because he's going to beat you. And the only chance you got of him not being there is if something happens. If some defensive end jumps off sides, then he's not there. And then the team with defense – Aaron Donald makes a huge play in the last play of the game against the Bengals to save that Super Bowl. There is a time for defense, I guess is what I'm saying, but not when that cat's involved. It's almost like everybody's playing catch-up with Mahomes right now.
Well, I think Brady's the same guy, you know, in a different way. You know, Brady did the same thing. I mean, you know, he won a bunch of Super Bowls, you know, and I think Mahomes is going to be that guy. That's just a great player. And, you know, I don't know that – people are on Dak Prescott all the time with the Cowboys. Who do they want? He's in the top six or seven in the league.
But that's my point. That's my point is Pat Mahomes now has everybody thinking beyond what's there right now.
Absolutely.
He has everyone thinking, all right, what in the world's going on? Why don't we have a guy like that? Not everybody's like that.
No, there's no question. I mean, I think that there's great players and there's good players and there's average players. I mean, you know, would I like to have Mahomes? Absolutely. I'd like to have Tom Brady too. You know, really, when you get to the playoffs, for example, okay, what you just said, you know, I don't know who's going to beat Mahomes. I have no idea.
Every year now, this is where we are.
But the Cowboys, and I always go back to the Cowboys because they went 12-4, 12-4, 12-4, but can't win in the playoffs. And the reason for it, they couldn't stop the run in the playoffs on defense. So there is a place for defense is what I'm saying. Like you said, there's times that you got to have some players on that side of the ball too. But if you don't have the quarterback, you're not going to be there for the defense to have an opportunity to
And let's be fair, they got some dudes on defense too, Chiefs, Leon.
No, go ahead, Coach.
No, they were the best this year because of the defense, in my mind. Because they weren't as good offensively without Tyreek Hill.
Especially on the outside, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, let's not forget what laboratory in which Mahomes was made, in which they're not utilized. Yeah, I mean, because Patrick Mahomes was a 10th pick overall, all right? And he sat a year behind Alex Smith, all right? Gave him a chance to develop, you know, gave him a chance to look out the window and see how – you know, defenses scheme you and how you can approach the game. And that's why I'm weary about the way that the quarterbacks are handled now is that these quarterbacks, they have to be baptized by fire now, bro. Yep. I mean, you almost essentially, and you've got to be NFL ready your junior year in college. You have to be, because when you're coming in the NFL with all the pressure on the GM and the head coach to win ball games, they draft you the way they draft you. You got to play. You can't sit back and learn. And what. But I'm saying, we're talking about Patrick Mahomes and all his splendor and all his wonder. He was made in the laboratory behind sittings behind somebody.
It is splendor and wonder, too. Don't
it is. Yeah. No, it is splendor and wonder.
Yeah, but you know, there were people that came out when he got drafted, and people said, hey, I'm going to tell you one thing. This guy's not going to make it.
Yep.
He can't do this and that and this and that.
Coach, I read the scouting report.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
that's
I read the scouting report
that's
on
that. That's where
it.
I heard it.
Yes.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
Let me say this to you, okay? I'm watching the draft last night. J.J. McCarthy gets picked. You guys know I like J.J. I think J.J. is going to be a pretty good quarterback in the league. One of the analysts on the NFL Network said, well, you know, Sam Darnold's there, so he'll be able to sit for like 6, 7, 8 games. Are you out of your mind? J.J. McCarthy's not sitting.
Yeah.
He's playing game one. Game one.
Yeah, that's probably true, yeah.
You can't get away from that right now. Yeah. It's such a premium, the position. He's got to play game one. The only reason that Michael Penix Jr. isn't going to play game one is because they just signed Kirk Cousins 4 years, $180 million. And you think, Dave, we were talking about this off the air, you think they've done better than what they did was actually a brilliant move despite all the criticism.
I don't know if it's brilliant or not, but I know that in the old days, the quarterbacks didn't have to start right away.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of an impatient business now, along with everything else in life. You know, nobody wants to wait. The owner doesn't want to wait. The coach doesn't want to wait. The players don't want to wait.
Fans don't want to wait.
You know, the
media doesn't want to wait.
Definitely don't want to wait. So, but in the old days, you brought a quarterback in. He sat for 2-3 years behind a starter and learned the game, like Leon said. And so I made the statement that the Love kid from Green Bay,
Jordan Love,
sat behind Aaron Rodgers. Everybody said,
right.
Well, boy, they're in trouble now. Aaron Rodgers is going. He comes in. I don't think he was very highly regarded as a great quarterback. He came in and played extremely well this year, and they kind of resurrected the situation there. My point was that, hey, everybody's saying that it was a ridiculous move by Atlanta to take Penix behind Cousins. You know, maybe they're a little smarter than everybody thinks they are, because he's going to be able to sit and learn the game. And if he's got all the talent, that's going to give him an opportunity to flourish once he gets in.
But, Leon, it's the same thing. It's the NFL, obviously. It's the same thing in college football. You get these five-star recruits. If they're not playing in year one, they're either leaving or you're wondering what's wrong with them.
And the fans are killing them.
Yeah,
killing them. The organization.
Like a great example is the guys in the transfer portal. If they don't play immediately, something's wrong. You, with Cam Ward, you're like all fired up now because you got a quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean – Coach, can you imagine me as a freshman telling Jimmy Johnson, hey, listen, I'm only going to come to school, I'm going to start. Huh? That's what these kids are saying now. These 4 or 5 star kids are saying, hey, listen, you want me to come to your school, I got to start.
And how much money am I
And how much money am I going to get? I can't even fathom anything like that. Like you said, Coach, we live in such an impatient world. No one wants to be groomed and developed or matured, all right? No one wants to work on their craft. This is your craft. When you come into the NFL or when you're at the college level, it's like you're sharpening your sword. You know, you don't wield your sword when you get it. You sharpen it. That's you're in college to sharpen your sword. And what's wrong with a lot of these kids? They don't want to work on their craft. Right. They want the instant gratification.
Yep. Want the BMW today
rather than
working a couple of years for it.
Yeah, I had to wait 5 years to get mine. You know what I'm saying? I had to wait till I graduated and went pro to get by. They want theirs now, their freshman year. It's crazy.
There will be guys that are overdrafted. One guy, more quarterbacks, I mean.
Yeah.
Like Spencer Rattler will get overdrafted.
Yeah.
He might go tonight.
Yep.
And I like Spencer Rattler. To me, of all the people, you know, you keep hearing Caleb Williams, oh, he's Pat Mahomes. The guy that looks like Pat Mahomes more than anyone is Spencer Rattler.
Mm-hmm.
He's that type of guy. I don't know if he's going to develop into that, obviously. I doubt it. But my point is, we're at the point now at quarterback where they're not just being overdrafted in the first round. They're being overdrafted everywhere, and they're being drafted, period, when in years past these guys are just camp arms.
Yeah.
Well, and now it's you're desperate to find something.
Absolutely. And really, to be honest with you, that's kind of been, you know, when you look at the first round quarterbacks over years, you know, it's about 50-50, the guys that really, I don't want to say were 100% successful. They were – to reach the plateau that everybody thought they were going to do. It's about 50-50,
mm-hmm.
you know. And to me, I think that's, you know, that's why teams are willing to reach. That's why I think there were six quarterbacks taken, and that makes it an offensive draft, because if there's even an inkling that your study of them has you feeling that they could be a franchise quarterback, they're going to take a chance on it, and then it's going to be like Zach Wilson. You play, you don't make it, they're willing to get rid of him. You know, not keep him as a backup, get rid of him, and bring in another guy. That's how the league is working.
All right, this is my perfect segue for the 10-10 take. RJ, let's rock that out. RJ?
Now, Josie's 10-10 take. Slow smoked and served up by Sonny's Barbecue, local pitmaster since 68.
You know it. You love it. Sonny's, Lane Avenue, Atlantic Boulevard, anywhere in the First Coast. They cook it up. Ribs, brisket, chicken, smoked chicken wings, Leon. Awaken 180 friendly, by the way.
Oh, really?
How about that for cross promotion?
Uh-huh.
Huh?
Yeah.
Go to your local Sonny's. Pick up some grub for rounds 2 and 3 tonight. Get some good food. So I'm looking at this quarterback, and I said earlier that I think that Pat Mahomes has skewed everything. But there's two parts to this puzzle. There's protect the quarterback, affect the quarterback. If you can affect the quarterback, if you can get Mahomes off his spot, it's been proven he's got issues. He still is very good off schedule. There's no doubt about it, okay? But that's the way you get to these quarterbacks. We're so focused now on offense, offense, offense. I think we're losing sight of the value of affecting the quarterback. I think we're losing sight of value of – remember when interior defensive linemen used to be the rage, Dave, because it was a run league?
Yep.
Now it's interior defensive linemen are more guys that can get to the quarterback.
Right, exactly.
So, but I think we're losing focus on the idea of if you get to the quarterback, good things happen. Your thoughts?
Oh, 100%. I'm with you. Yeah, I love it. The way I'd never really heard it that way. I knew it was that way, but I never heard it that way until you started saying protect the quarterback and affect the quarterback. I use that all the time now when I'm talking to people because that's the name of the game,
you
in
give
my
me credit?
Opinion. Yeah, I give you credit. I kind of try to take it all myself, so I get a little bit more out there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
People start asking me to do stuff more if I have some ideal situation, stuff like that.
Right, that's true.
But really, no, I give you credit. And to me, that's the name of the game. You win up front, and it still comes down to that, in my opinion.
Leon, as a former Pro Bowl offensive tackle,
yeah,
you understood the value of that dude can wreck our game plan. That dude coming at me right now can wreck our game plan.
Mm-hmm.
And I obviously it's still a factor. But I just think we're losing sight of, instead of offense, 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 there's a way to slow this thing down right now.
Yeah, I mean, the whole idea is that the quarterback is the most essential and the most important piece on the puzzle in the football game. And he needs protection. Before you even give him weapons, before you even give him wide receiver and all that other kind of stuff, you've got to get him bodyguards. You've got to get him five guys who are going to protect him at all costs. I mean, that's the reason why I was born here. I was brought here from Pittsburgh to Jacksonville because Mark Bunnell was left-handed, all right? There were struggles at right tackle, all right? So they at that particular time, me or Eric Williams were one of the two best right tackles. Yeah, I had already signed Eric, so yep. I was unsigned, and I that's why I came here, to effectively protect Mark Bunnell. And, you know, you got Bacelli, you got me on there, and then we got pieces in the middle and can run the ball. And we were two-dimensional. We could run the ball and we could pass the ball. But the most important piece of the puzzle was Mark Bunnell protecting his blind side. And Mark flourished because he had protection.
Right.
And had Jimmy and Keenan, too. Don't get it wrong.
Right. Clearly that helps.
Oh, yeah, it helps. But yeah. Jimmy and Keenan don't get open. They don't get open if he can't throw. You know what I'm saying?
I can guarantee you Jimmy would be the first person to say, I don't get all those 1,000-yard seasons if Bo and Leon aren't there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think everybody realizes what I'm saying, but the people that watch and the people that are going to make a decision whether or not this was a good draft or not are going to go with the quality receiver because that's what sticks out.
Right, and I get that completely, and I know we need to go to break real quick, and I get that completely. I guess my point is you take Dallas Turner there and he becomes this special edge, and your dime package of rush guys is – Dallas Turner, Josh Allen, Trayvon Walker, and Armstead.
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
With Devin Lloyd as a fifth blitz guy?
Yep.
You're affecting the quarterback at that point. You're doing things that will get you deep into the playoffs at that point.
Right.
And that's just – look, there are two ways to look at it. There's no doubt about it. You can look at it where we're just going to outscore everybody, or we're going to actually try and do something to slow down this offensive onslaught where the game of football, not just the NFL, the game of football is headed. All right, we need to go to break. We'll come back on the other side. We're going to get more into what day two and three looks like for the Jaguars. It's XL Primetime.
Buckle up. You're in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios with XL Primetime on 1010XL. Find your new Honda at your eight local Honda dealers. That just happened. Brought to you by Florida Home AC, the official air conditioning partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
All right, news from the NFL. Guardian caps have officially been authorized for in-game use beginning in 2024. Those are the caps to protect the head from injury, from any kind of dangerous injury to the head beyond any typical injury. And they can now be used during the game. If you think about it, if you've been out to a Jags training camp, you'll see them. It's those white caps that go over the helmet,
mm-hmm.
and it's just protection from concussion or any other head-type injury. My guess is a lot of guys are going to be wearing these.
I know they won't.
You don't think so? Mm-hmm. Why?
I just know guys in the locker room. They're not going to wear that. Now I think that they're not going to wear it. Coach already knows that. When you said the Guardian caps were put on the head during the game, a guy – listen, just
why?
Think about
Tell
you.
Me why.
Because
somebody's going to think they're soft.
Yes. You don't understand the temperament in the locker room, bro. Bro, I'm telling
you. Then why do they wear them in practice?
They wear them in practice because they have to wear them in practice, mass majority of them. They have to wear them in practice. Now, I'm a believer like this. I believe this, though, Matt. If you get a concussion, and you go in concussion protocol, I think you should be required to wear it at least a week.
In a game,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but to have to say I'm going to wear it during the game, it's not going to happen.
Aesthetics.
What do you think? You look like aesthetics. A sissy if you wear it?
It's not
aesthetics. They'll put a logo on them. It's not aesthetics.
I'm not telling you what they think they're going to look like. I'm just telling you that the temperament in the locker room, I could just imagine. Now, the temperament in the locker room, somebody going putting this helmet on and then grabbing one of those and putting it on going out there, I'm telling you right now, it won't be good. It won't be pretty.
Yeah, what if he takes the opening kickoff 98 for a touchdown?
That happens.
Then you're happy with him,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but I'm saying, but if he goes, out there initially, he's going to get it. He's going to get the business. Coach, I'm not – listen, I'm not telling him something I heard. I'm telling you something I know.
Dave? Like, let me ask you this. As a head coach, would you encourage players to do it?
I would. And just from the safety aspect, but I guarantee you I'm with Leon.
The coach is going to look out for
you. If I was playing, I'd have a hard time putting that thing on.
Absolutely.
I can tell you that right now. For the same reason he's saying.
Yeah, they're going to put a logo on it, too. They're going to put a logo on it.
Of course they will, yeah. The NFL's definitely going to put a logo on it.
They're
going to
make fun of you.
Gonna be like a spaceship out there.
Y'all acting like 13-year-olds. They're gonna make fun of me. I don't want to wear that. They're gonna make fun of me.
Oh, come on, man.
All right, let's look at tonight for the Jags.
Mm-hmm.
Do you expect them, Dave? Apparently, they tried to move into the late of the first round yesterday, and again, nobody's gonna trade with them. Which same thing as last year. Do you expect them to try to move up in the second round to get a corner, to get one of those? Probably three. I think the level of corners, you probably got about three that are worthy right now, and then the rest, there's a step down from them. To get like Cooper DeJean, to get Ennis Drakestraw, do you see something like that happening, or do you think they're just going to let the board fall, and if one's there, you grab him? If not, if Cooper Beebe's there, you grab him?
They've got it grouped right now. You know, the board changes from the end of last night to where it is today, so they'll pull out all the guys that went. And then they'll tighten the board up, and then they'll still have their four or five guys that if they're there at that position, this is the direction we want to go, 1, 2, 3, 4. And now it's based on who's the best player there. You know, we're going to take the best player unless it's a position that we absolutely don't need. So I could certainly see that if they've got the corners grouped at the beginning of the round, that they would maybe try to make a move to get up there to try to get one. The same thing could be if there's a two or three offensive linemen that, you know, that are there at that you know, early spot that, that they can maybe grab. So I, it wouldn't surprise me. It just depends on where they have everybody slotted.
You taking best player available, you think, in the second round now? Early to do that?
Well, I think first of all, I think they made a mistake last year taking Bigsby and Strange.
Right.
Because they took guys that they needed right there, okay? So the way I look at the draft, the first round, grades and need come in. Because when you put the board up, that's why everybody's board in the first round is different.
Right.
Because a need factors into whether you have them ranked at number 15 or number 17, right? Mm-hmm. That the ability level is there. And so when you make a pick there, you pick the one that gives you the best chance to do what you want to do, okay? The second round and the third round are, need is there, but really it's the best player, how you rank them 1, 2, 3, 4, more than it is the need in that situation.
There's a lot of receivers right now out there that are good players, that can be good players in the league. I think you're going to see a receiver run, and that's going to knock maybe
guys down,
corners down, or even a Cooper Beebe down to the Jaguars. You're talking about A.D. Mitchell. You're talking about Ladd McConkey, who a lot of people had as a first-round pick, and he didn't go in the first round. Ricky Pearsall went instead of him. Troy Franklin from Oregon's another one. Malachi Corey, the big physical kid from Western Kentucky. You've got receivers. Keon Coleman, obviously, is a guy that everybody looks at. Roman Wilson from Michigan. Jermaine Burton from Alabama. Excuse me. There's going to be a run on wide receivers. And this team may benefit again from that and again be in position to where a couple of guys that they want or could use, Leon, are going to be right there staring them in the face. And then the question is, what do you do? Are they going to trade back again, or are they going to get the guy that they think can give them impact?
Well, we don't know. I mean, we're to assess that they went in the draft and got who they wanted at the wide receiver position. They said they were going to take him at 17 anyway. But you're in a position right now. They have to take needs, and their need is offensive line. I mean, you've got to address Trevor. You gave him a weapon, which is fine. Now you've got to address protection. All right, we talked about this off the air. I mean, we talked about how the Patrick Mahomes effect, and Patrick Mahomes, when he got exposed in the Super Bowl against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers,
right?
Organizationally, what did they do? They went and got pieces around him to protect him.
Why did he get exposed?
He got exposed because
they couldn't protect him.
He couldn't protect him. You absolutely could not protect
him. Now, they had injuries.
Yeah, they had injuries. But
still, they couldn't protect him. That's how you beat him.
You got beat on the outside, on the inside, or whatever like that. Right now, Trevor's issues with his issues with injuries and concussed and all that kind of stuff was due to lack of protection and up front and him protecting himself. So, I mean, you can work on him protecting himself, but you got to work on the issues interiorly at the offensive line protection.
I mean, I got news for you. The fumbles, also because of poor protection.
Yeah.
Because when you're forced out of the pocket and you're not protecting the ball, you're forced out because of the protection issues.
Yeah.
Some of it is on him. There's no doubt about that, all right? But you can even point to interceptions, too. If he hurries a throw, if the timing is off because he's getting the bull rush up front and he can't complete his throw, of course.
His follow through, step up, all that kind of stuff factors in, you know? So, I mean, protection is key first and foremost.
Do you see an offensive lineman? Is it possible with that second pick?
Oh, yeah.
Or you think corner's got to be corner?
No, I don't see it as it has to be a corner. I think that they could play today. But the issue is, if they do move up, it's somebody – need is a factor in that as well. You know, I mean, if they go up and say, you know, try to get an offensive lineman that's still available at that time, it's a combination of need and ranking. They have to have them ranked up there. They're not going to – where I have a problem is when you take somebody specifically for need and not based on your board. That's where you get into trouble.
So a guy on the text line, the 552, says, are we drafting an O-line for depth or to start? If to start, which starter are we benching? I think you take a Cooper Beebe. Let's say it's Cooper Beebe. And he just goes, man. He goes. He's competing. And if he beats out Ezra Cleveland, he beats him out. If he plays well enough to beat out Sheriff, he beats him out.
There you go.
Exactly.
And the days of, like, you know, you pay him more so he's got to play.
No.
They're no. over. That's You've right. got to protect your quarterback.
I want guys. I want to draft guys to make veteran guys uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I make them uncomfortable. And take their position. If they've been paid the money, if they're not they're living up to their contract, or they're not playing up to par, and then in training camp your young phenom comes into, then so be it. Then you have to cut bait. Hey, sometimes you got to say, hey, we made a mistake. We made a mistake in free agency.
Yeah,
you got to cut bait. This guy is. Jimmy did that, didn't he, Coach?
Yeah, absolutely.
If he got a good young stud to come in there, and there's a veteran that's getting paid, guess what? If he plays better, we cut bait. Move forward with the young guy.
Jimmy cut guys that fell asleep in a meeting.
That part.
Who was a starter.
Yeah.
He was a starter.
Got to go.
So we always talk about this, how you got to play the guy who's getting paid.
Yeah.
Clearly, you dealt with issues like that with Jerry Jones.
Yes.
But do you see Shad Khan being that type of owner where, hey, he's got to play, I'm paying him?
No,
I don't see Shad as that type of guy.
I don't either. I think he's even more less concerned about the money, in my opinion, than he is about winning. I get that feel from him. Whereas Jerry, it was a combination of wins and business all the time. So you know, that's the difference.
I mean, if Jackson Powers Johnson is available, okay, he's another mean, tough guy. Okay, guard and center.
Yeah.
If he's available, BB's not available, and he's there, why wouldn't you take him knowing that you play him at guard, and then when Morse is done, by the way, knowing Morse's injury history,
yep.
he's your center.
I'm with you 100%. Mm-hmm. I like him. I liked him from the beginning. I thought he might go in the first round, but, you know, for whatever reason, I think he's the kind of guy you would look
because
at.
Because they, Dave, again, as you being a former coach, they can say they haven't given up on Luke Fortner.
Yeah.
They've given up on Luke Fortner.
Yeah, you don't bring a guy in, a veteran, and
right.
say you're the starter when you got a center that's you picked pretty high.
All right, we need to go to break. We are live at Duval Charter, Bay Meadows. Best way to explain this is if you are on 995, you get on Bay Meadows Way Road. It's about a mile on the left. They're having their celebration tomorrow to christen this beautiful football field facility. Come on by tomorrow. There's going to have games and bounce houses, and former Jags will be there. Mike Hollis and Donovan Darius and who else? Gerald Ingham, former Jags coach, mm-hmm. will also
yeah.
be around.
Yeah.
And, of course, Bees will be here, the head coach at Duval Charter Bay Meadows. Come on by and have some fun 11 to 2 tomorrow. It's XL Primetime.
Cruising with XL Primetime in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios on 1010XL. It's a big hair, heavy metal Friday on XL Primetime.
It's Primetime. We are live, Duval County, Bay Meadows. Celebrating this brand new facility here. Matt Hayes, Leon Sears. Dave Campo, our coach, Tom Champion Engineering, and playing the air bass, and RJ's holding it down back at the studio. So, Tony Khan last night in the Jags war room, Tony Khan, friend of the show, with his neck brace.
Yeah.
For the quote-unquote scripted event that went haywire. Good for Tony for gutting it out, by the way. Good for Tony. And he's like, he's viral now on X because of that picture of him in the neck brace. But look, if he's wearing a neck brace, he got hurt.
Yeah.
He definitely got hurt. There's no doubt about that. All right, speaking of AEW, Tony is the president and CEO of AEW Wrestling. RJ, we got some tickets to give away, do we not?
Absolutely. We have a pair of tickets to AEW Collision and Rampage on April 27th. That is tomorrow at Daly's Place. Be caller number 2-641-1010. And you'll be able to see AEW live and direct at Daly's Place.
Caller number 2, RJ's quick trigger there, huh? Okay, so tonight, tomorrow, you got a new DC, Nielsen, Ryan Nielsen. Do you help him out a little bit at this point? Do you start to get some interior guys? Maybe is Braden Fisk a guy that you look at? Is Mason Smith an interior guy that you look at, Dave? Or do you literally just focus on we got to cover guys? Do you get two corners? Do you get three corners? What are you looking at right now?
I think they might get one corner, and I think they'll get an interior defensive lineman and an offensive lineman. Those are the next moves for me. And again, I think that they'll try to get some guys that they feel they need on defense, but they're going to take guys that they have graded pretty well, whether it's offense or defense. And that grade's going to reflect the need a little bit in my mind.
I'll tell you what, I wouldn't mind seeing them get like Kamari Lazar from Georgia. He's a lot like Tyson Campbell. He's a long guy. He's a physical guy. I don't think he played as well this past season as he did his first 2 years at Georgia. But he's a guy that has all the tools to be like an impact corner. Leon, are you more focused on cover or are you more focused on interior push and edge right now?
You talking about defensively?
Defensively. To take care of your new DC.
Maybe interior push. Interior push. I mean, you know, you got Armstead in there, but I like to put in a nice little young phenom in there to fit the rotation. You know, some guy who can stop the run and can, you know, and rush the passer as well. I mean, that's what I'm looking for. I think that's the one thing that we lacked last year. I mean, like you said, we got 40 sacks last year, 27 and a half were on the outside.
Right.
The productivity interiorly was just not there. You're talking about the combination of what, four or five guys interiorly that got five sacks?
Yeah.
That's unacceptable. Absolutely unacceptable. That's got to be double or triple, whatever, because that's unacceptable. So you got to bring in, you sign Armstead, he's going to definitely help. He only had five sacks last year, by the way. But then you got Ledbetter.
He's that disruptor, though, that can help the other two. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Dave's holding the hands up. He's 6'8", holding his hands up.
Absolutely,
right.
Absolutely.
Makes a big difference.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I would like to get somebody interiorly that can rush the passer and stop the run. I would like that.
And, Dave, at the end of the day, you've got to – you know, we always say that coverage plays off rush and rush plays off coverage. But more times than not – it's rush leads to coverage, is it not?
Yes, absolutely. That's why, you know, I don't, as a DB coach, going way back, even with the Jags, we had guys that could rush the passer. Mm-hmm. And we had big guys inside that could get pressure and get the hands up and do that with Stroud and Henderson. But going back to the Cowboys, we weren't a great defense until Charles Haley showed up. And, you know, again, rushing the passer is the key. And we had good secondary players. I mean, even here at the Jags, Rasheen Mathis was outstanding, but they would not have been as good. Kevin Smith and Larry Brown, they pressed John Taylor and Jerry Rice like 40 or 60 times in one of the games. And that's because of the pressure. That's not because they were that good against, you know, these are the maybe two best receivers in the league
right.
for many years.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it's about the pressure.
All right, so I want to go back to the offense real quick and explain something to everybody, because I know, you know, we began the show saying Leon and I and Dave, we're not going to be raising our pom-poms. So, frankly, Coach, you need a little pom-pom, if you know what I mean, a little bit. You were a little bit today. Leon and I, not so much.
Yeah.
But I want to go back to the idea of the draft, Dave, as a former NFL head coach, is you may see one thing, somebody else may see something completely different. And I don't want to put you on the spot here, but you were showing me your list of wide receivers. And you had Ladd McConkey high.
Absolutely.
You had him high, and he didn't get picked.
Right.
You had Ricky Pearsall. Was he your ninth receiver? Is that right?
Somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yeah, he's. If I'm looking right now, that's at least nine or close to it.
And he
was 10th. And he was the last guy picked in the first round.
Right.
There has to be there's got to be a little leeway for that as well, because you know you what one team sees another team, like I can guarantee you 31 other teams thought the Falcons were idiots for taking Michael Penix Jr.
Right,
they didn't.
Yeah, I mean that's why I say it's really subjective. And when Bees was here, Aaron Beasley, last night, he asked me you know which corner I liked the best. And I said Terry and Arnold because, you know, even other than his just flat-out speed, there's other things involved in playing in the secondary. And I said he's a more complete player. He's mm-hmm. played against top competition. And he said, oh, I'm going with Quinlan all the way. And that's, you know, hey, you know, when I look at Quinlan, I think he's pretty good too.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I see a little more crapshoot with Quinlan than I do Terry and Arnold. So it's everybody's opinion is a little bit different.
We had a great day, great time here at Duval County Charter, Duval Charter Bay Meadows, excuse me, Duval Charter Bay Meadows. Had a great time. Come tomorrow to see them christen this brand-new, beautiful facility. The point I made with that real quick is don't panic, because what the Jags see tonight and Saturday might not be what others see. And, oh, by the way, just to let you guys marinate on this for the entire weekend, Leon says if Cooper Beebe is selected by the Jags, he's doing a cartwheel. He's doing a cartwheel.
He even picked up a pom-pom.
Yeah, all right.
That's
for Leon
right.
Searcy, for Dave Campo,
he didn't
for
wanna,
engineer Tom listen, Champion.
Listen, he didn't want to. He didn't want to put a hat on the helmet for safety, but he picked up that.
If Cooper Beebe is drafted.
RJ, well done in the studio. Joe Coward at PJ Tour. We'll see y'all Monday.
Come on, Joe. That ain't good enough. You got to suck the blood out of my mouth. Let's go, baby. Whoa!
Riding in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios. XL Primetime on 1010XL.